Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of egalitarianism, sustainability, peace, wellness, health, and freedom for all without discrimination. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're celebrating Valentine's Day. Freedom is love. Love is freedom. So in this episode, I'm featuring quite a bit of the Team Vegan on the Freedom Convoy 2022 in Canada, coming to you from Ottawa, Canada. Snippets of their live streams. And before that, we're going to listen to a short audio of what is behind the mandates. And again, it's very important that we work together. We're all in this together to free humanity and the other animals. And in that freedom, we co-create health, wellness, and health for humans and non-humans alike. This clip was recently sent to me by an activist in New York City. So this is a short audio clip of the pivotal moment. And then we'll hear from Team Vegan on the Freedom Convoy 2022. So first, here is a shortened version of the pivotal moment, and much thanks to vegan activist, the vegan crooner Giardina in New York City, a great vegan activist. Here's a quote by the vegan crooner Giardina. No sentient being desires or deserves to be enslaved, exploited, harmed, or killed. So you see where we're coming from, freedom for all without discrimination. So here is a clip of the pivotal moment.
We all know that we're living through challenging and troubling times. We're in the midst of a pandemic. Cities and whole countries are being locked down for months on end. People are losing their lives, their jobs and their businesses. Mental illness and suicide are on the rise, and the debt that is being built up will take generations to pay off. Censorship and polarization seem to be the new norm, with nuanced debate and mutual respect giving way to a pro versus anti, with us or against us mentality that has a chilling and deeply divisive effect on our previously open and tolerant societies. But far more disturbing than any of these troubling things is that we stand on the brink of a civilizational change that is so far-reaching in its consequences and so profound in its implications that few are able to discern the imminence of the danger or to fully comprehend the Rubicon that we are about to cross and the dystopian world that awaits us on the other side. How is this fundamental change being ushered into being, you ask? Through sleight of hand, through misdirection, and through the introduction of the seemingly benign vaccine passport. Such a claim seems extraordinary, and you would be right to be sceptical. But please allow me to explain. Most of us living in democratic societies today have been born into freedom. We've simply never known anything different. Now, liberal democratic societies are certainly not perfect, but we are essentially free to live the lives we choose, go where we please, and behave as we wish, except where our actions are expressly prohibited in law, such as stealing, committing acts of violence, or taking another's life. But we've not earned the freedoms we've enjoyed. They've been handed down to us by successive generations who wrestled them from the hands of monarchs and tyrants, who campaigned, fought, and died so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we now possess to live the lives we choose. Yet today, we stand on the brink of having these priceless, hard-fought freedoms stolen from us as we look the other way, of relinquishing them without resistance or debate because we are told we have no choice but to accept vaccine passports if we want to get some semblance of our old lives back. At first glance, accepting vaccine passports into our daily lives may seem like a trivial change. After all, many of us have already become accustomed to scanning QR codes as a condition of entry into restaurants and shops. But do not be fooled. The universal adoption of vaccine passports is not a trivial change. It is no less than a fundamental inversion of what is meant by freedom in democratic societies, and it will facilitate a radical restructuring of our civilization. No longer will your personal freedom be expansive, constrained only at the periphery by long-established and mutually agreed laws. Instead, what will remain of your freedom will be limited to those things that you've been given explicit permission to do by some unseen algorithmic power mediated through the screen of your smartphone, one green tick at a time. Let me say this again, for it is critically important to understand. Today, we are essentially free to do anything we choose, except where our actions are prohibited in law. However, after the introduction of vaccine passports, that concept of freedom will be consigned to history, replaced by a completely new system in which you will only be allowed to do the things that you've been given explicit permission to do. This is what I mean by a fundamental inversion of freedom. Almost overnight, our enshrined and protected freedoms will become mere privileges, temporarily granted to us for compliance and good behaviour. Can I go into this restaurant, this concert, this sporting event? Can I get on this bus, this plane, or in this taxi? Can I go into this shop, this doctor's surgery, or even into my place of work? Participation in such trivial day-to-day activities will be contingent on permissions granted to us via our smartphones, permissions which themselves will be liable to change from one day to the next. And don't think for a second that because you are now double vaccinated, this won't apply to you. Australia, a country of under 26 million people, has recently signed contracts to secure a further 195 million vaccine doses on top of the millions of doses already purchased. That's about a booster shot every 6 months for the next 4 years. So in a couple of years from now, if you are 2 days late getting your booster shot for the latest COVID variant, you might as well forget that dinner with friends at your favourite restaurant. Those privileges will have been automatically revoked. And it won't stop there. Vaccine passports are just a Trojan horse. Behind the seemingly benign, functional facade lays a digital ID scheme built on a software platform that is designed to be extended over time. Today, you'll just get a simple binary green tick or red cross indicating your authorised inclusion or exclusion from everyday society. But tomorrow, you'll be rated on every aspect of your life. Points added for behaviour deemed supportive of the government and big business, points subtracted for anything deemed to be divergent from the required norms. So how many times did you inadvertently break the 1.5 metre social distancing rule today? What about that mildly critical post on social media about some government policy? What about that video you shared with a friend raising legitimate questions about the current approved narrative? Watch your social credit score tumble, and as it does, your access to the services essential for everyday life revoked, one privilege at a time. This sounds extreme, but the social credit system is already a reality in China, where people can't even board a train if their score falls below a certain threshold. Make no mistake, this is coming soon, and to the entire world, and it's coming hidden in the vaccine passport Trojan horse. While such a world may seem implausible to us, if we stop and reflect for just a moment, it becomes clear that COVID-19 has already given us a taste of a world where what is permitted, and with it the boundaries of our freedom, changes on a day-to-day basis. The desensitisation has already begun. Although this vision of our imminent future is shocking enough, the true dystopian power of such a scheme only comes into view when we situate the vaccine passport digital ID platform in the context of the high-tech, highly surveilled world we already live in. It's no secret to anyone that the global tech giants monitor and record our every online action, with each post liked, every article shared, ad clicked and video watched, used to build detailed profiles on us. These big data generated psychographic profiles are not only used to determine what products we may want to buy, but also, more chillingly, to infer our political preferences, our opinions, attitudes and beliefs, and even our innermost drives and fears. It really can be argued that, armed with big data, AI algorithms and near infinite computing power, Google, Facebook and Amazon really can know us better than we know ourselves. Furthermore, after Edward Snowden's revelations about the NSA's illegal and ubiquitous surveillance programs in the US, working hand in glove as they did with their Five Eyes partners in the UK, Canada, Australia and New Zealand, most reasonably informed people know that governments collect and store vast quantities of data on their citizens, including almost all telephone calls, text messages and emails. Every aspect of our lives today is monitored, scrutinised and profiled as part of the national security apparatus of the state or the for-profit apparatus of big business. To date, the Faustian bargain that we've made with big tech seems to result in little more than a gentle nudge here and there from an online ad or an eerily accurate Amazon recommendation to purchase something that we didn't even know we wanted. However, this will all change, and change forever, if we allow the vaccine passports to roll out. Why? Because the vaccine passport and the social credit system it will rapidly evolve into is the final missing piece in an automated architecture of total surveillance and social control. George Orwell has made us all familiar with the watching and monitoring aspect of surveillance, and we all intuitively know that the act of being watched puts pressure on us to conform to certain rules and norms. Think speed cameras on the roads and CCTV cameras in shops and town centres. But there is another aspect of surveillance that, apart from the occasional speeding fine, few of us have experienced, and that is the disciplinary aspect of surveillance, the punishment for non-compliance that's received at the sharp end of the surveillance architecture. Until now, that piece of the puzzle has been missing, but with the advent of vaccine passports, the mechanism to automatically discipline those who do not submit to prescribed norms and mandated rules will be carried in everyone's pocket every moment of every day. There is a term that's used in the academic discussions on surveillance known as turnkey totalitarianism. This is the idea that the surveillance infrastructure for a totalitarian system has been constructed around us, but it has not yet been switched on. The machine is ready, but the key has not yet been turned. Vaccine passports are the last part of that infrastructure, the last cog in the machine. They are the disciplinary sharp end of the totalitarian system of surveillance and control. Once we allow this final, critical part of the infrastructure to be slotted into place, once we accept it as just a normal part of daily life, the key will be turned, the Rubicon will be crossed, and there will be no going back. There will be no space for dissent, no opportunity for debate, and no room for deviance from prescribed norms and mandated behaviours. And as the crucially important space for debate, difference and non-conformity disappears, so too will the possibility of ordinary human beings collectively steering the direction we want our societies to go in. The machine will be on, eternally and automatically watching, profiling and scoring, guiding our behaviours and, when necessary, punishing. We will be, forever, at the mercy of our masters, those with the key to the machine, those who keep score, and those who set the rules. Those who decide if we are deserving of a green tick or a red cross. Those who decide whether we can be included in society or pushed to the precarious margins of existence. If we allow this to happen, it will be, as Aldous Huxley termed it, the final revolution. There will be no coming back from it. Freedom, as we have known it all our lives and for generations before us, will be extinguished forever for all but the privileged few at the pinnacle of the pyramid. In time, maybe in a generation or two, we will be so conditioned by the continuous gaze of surveillance and the rewards and punishments that it will automatically issue, that we'll simply police ourselves, self-monitored, self-censored, and submissive. The freedom we enjoy today, even the very idea of freedom as we conceive it now, will become all but unthinkable to our children and all the generations that follow. It is said that totalitarianism is, first and foremost, the extreme focusing of surveillance devoted to securing political ends. Under the cover of COVID-19, without debate, discussion, or informed consent, we're about to let a new totalitarian world of total surveillance, control, and compliance be ushered in, welcomed by many in the name of doing their part in the battle against the virus. It is tempting to think that those of us living today in our high-tech, media-saturated world are far too informed and far too smart to have such a trick played on us. Yes, people may have fallen under the spell of fascism and totalitarianism in the past, but we are simply far too sophisticated to fall into such a trap. But is that really true? Are you sure? Look around you. Look at the censorship. Look at how little deviance there is from the approved narrative on the mainstream media. Look at how fear is being used to corral and control us. Look at how we are becoming divided around the ideas of masks, vaccines and lockdowns. Look at the in-group, out-group mentality that's beginning to form. Look at how far we've come in less than 2 short years. When the scales are peeled from your eyes, the propaganda and control become all too clear. The destination laid bare for those willing to see.
We're listening to a shortened clip of The Pivotal Moment, published November 24th, 2021, sent to me by a great vegan activist in New York City, the vegan crooner Jadina. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then after the break, we'll hear from a recent rally and protest in New York City, live streamed by DaVegan, Kruna Jiadina. And then we'll also hear from activists in Ottawa, Canada, Team Vegan on the Freedom Convoy 2022. You're tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio. Online at WCUW.org. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this radio station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation celebrates Valentine's Day 2022 by sharing the philosophy of deep veganism, authentic veganism, which is human freedom requires animal liberation, for as we sow, we reap. And now here's DaVegan Kruna Jiadina, coming to us from New York City.
Okay, we're here at City Hall Park, near the fountain, in New York City, at a rally. And this is a rally to stand up and speak up against oppression, discrimination, segregation, and fascism, and tyranny, and all of these things that we all agree, or should be in agreement with, are wrong. Not just for me, not just for a few, but for everyone. So no matter which side of the argument, the so-called argument you're on, if you are all about getting a vaccine or wearing a mask, okay, if that makes you feel good and you feel secure with that, then okay, you're within your rights. I mean, there are some stipulations with that too, because specifically with the vaccines, they're made from, I'm just going to put myself on camera here. The vaccines are made from human fetal material and from animal materials. And none of these beings wanted to be used in this way. They didn't want to be killed for it. And that's what they include. So those are the stipulations. Beyond that, okay, if someone wants to have a vaccine, well, all right, go ahead and do it. But you have no right to impose that on anyone else. Not an individual, not a government official. No one has the right to do that. So that's what we're here to do. And there are people here who are into wearing masks. I mean, they're all around me, as you might see. And there are people who are pro-vax, have been vaccinated. And there are many people who are not. We all have the right to choose what's right for ourselves and for what's right for our children. So we're at this rally, and it's just one of many happening right now at this time around the country and maybe even around the world. I mean, there have been lots of things happening around the world. So we're all speaking up. We're standing in solidarity with the truckers in Canada, the convoys elsewhere that are happening, and as we speak. So thank you. Thank you for tuning into this. We're going to be here. There's going to be a lot happening here. The firefighters of New York City will be here. They're on their way. They're coming from different places, including Staten Island. So we're waiting for them to start things in effect. And this is fake. This is fake fur. It looks pretty real. I was really surprised when I pulled this out of the drawer. Just so everyone knows, I would never wear anything made from an animal. Because that's a real issue that people are still supporting. They're still supporting using animals for clothing, food, medical testing, entertainment, and everything else. So let's stop that. Let's wake up. Let's wake up to a lot of things. We humans are supposed to have the capability, the capacity for higher intelligence, reason, logic, sense, compassion, and ethics. So let's really focus on that. Let's tap into that capacity and live up to that. Let's live in alignment with that. All right. I'm going to take you back to some scenes that we're seeing here at City Hall Park in New York City at the rally to stand up, speak up against mandates, including the vaccine mandates and the mask mandates.
We're listening to a clip from DaVegan Kruna Jiadina.
Would you like to say something? Okay.
On February 11th, 2022. And now let's head up north to Ottawa to hear from Team Vegan on the Freedom Convoy 2022.
Look at this. There's probably more people here than live in Ottawa. Wow. Take a look.
Good evening, everybody. We are back on the ground in Ottawa.
Woo!
So I've been away for a couple of weeks, and Adam did a fantastic job holding the line for as long as he possibly could. I'm very proud of Adam. He did a fantastic job giving you the goods, and in a very raw and emotional way, which is fantastic. We need to see that. So just to give you guys the lay down, we are here to make sure that everything is safe and cozy tonight. Here, let me show you what I'm looking at. I'm currently down on Wellington Street, just outside West Block there. And you can see, even though the media has tried to show you and try to make it sound like there's no trucks here, this is one block. Well, it's in the block adjacent to Center Block, and there are a crap load of trucks still here. Adam's truck was right in amongst these trucks here, but you can see that they've all crunched up here to fill this space again. And so it just goes all the way down here, and it goes all the way down there, all the way to Kent Street. By tomorrow night, there are going to be tens of thousands of civilians that have mustered here just to hang out and show support. And we figure this will be the third weekend. This will probably be momentous because of all the attraction that we've got in the news, because of everything that's happened, because of all the lies, and everybody over the last 2 weeks coming here, seeing the truth, and taking it home and telling their friends and telling their family. I've really not made it too much of a secret, but my professional career is a private investigator of 25 years in the province of Ontario. And I've got a certain skill set that can be lent towards capturing video evidence. So I figure that's the best thing that I can do to help these people here, is have my camera equipment ready to take any evidence of police brutality, shenanigans. But most importantly, the number one thing that I want to show on film is these beautiful people going down peacefully onto a knee, accepting what's happening, not necessarily helping, but not resisting, singing "O Canada," just being taken out by a tyrant. And that's what we want to show the world. So I hope that that doesn't have to be filmed at all. I hope that the government realizes and the police realize the very precarious situation that they're actually in here, that they have the eyes of the world watching them, and Canada's very reputation as a peaceful society, as a free society, is on the edge of a knife right now. Everybody's watching, and I don't think they're going to make a mistake, and I hope that's right. I hope that's the call. So there's still a lot going on down here, despite what the media has tried to say.
We're listening to Team Vegan on the Freedom Convoy 2022.
Get a good night's sleep. Rest assured, things are good here right now. I will see you in the morning. Peace out from Ottawa downtown.
You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts, USA. Let's hear more from Jason King in Ottawa.
We checked the clock. It's just about 5 o'clock in the morning. Everything was good overnight. And I just came back last night, so I figured I'd do some patrolling overnight, make sure everything's good, right? So, yeah. All right. We're in it to win it, bud.
That's it.
All right. Stay strong.
Yep.
Hold the line. Thanks. See, that's... people are waking up. Just, it's pretty awesome down here. You can just talk to anybody down here. It's fantastic. Everybody's open to talking. Everybody's willing to share their story. Everybody's got a story, too. A lot of people here have suffered for 2 years. I, myself, you know, my situation is that, you know, I wouldn't have my job if the Ontario government didn't happen to have one word in their human rights code, the word creed, right? That word saved me from being destitute. I'd be out without a job. I wouldn't have EI because you don't qualify for it if you don't get the injection. So I would be out on my butt right now trying to find somewhere to live and some way of providing for my daughter if it wasn't for that word creed, because I was able to successfully argue with my employer's lawyers to get myself exemption based on the fact that I'm a vegan and that fits the definition of creed. So that's the only reason I still have my job. I came very close. It's not the situation for my daughter's mother. She hasn't worked for months. She works for the federal government. Decided she didn't want to take the risk of getting the injection. And she's been off on leave. And so think about that, you know. It's this tyrannical position that the government has taken, the governments have taken, is it's ridiculous. You know, we need to have our jobs to provide for our daughter. And both of us, well, because she works for the federal government, she's falls under the Human Rights Code of Canada, which does not include the word creed. So she didn't get the same opportunity as I did to maintain her job. So it's freaking really awful. So that's why I'm here. That's because even though I still have my job, and it is precarious because for me to do my job, I need to be able to access public places. And if I don't have that and it interferes with my job, my employers have told me that I could still lose my job, even though they've given me an exemption. That's fair. I understand and appreciate that. So I'm here to make sure that those mandates collapse so that I can protect my job on two fronts. Thank you very much for following us. I'll be back with some pretty powerful stuff once this place looks alive again. It's pretty sleepy right now. But I think this afternoon and definitely Saturday, it's going to be crushing here. We're going to be killing it. So I'm really excited to be here for you and bring you live feeds. And maybe we'll have some discussions about why this is really important for vegan activists and animal liberation activists. Why is Team Vegan here, right? Why is it important for Team Vegan to be on the ground here fighting for basically our fundamental basic human rights, right? So they're very intertwined and they're both very significant to one another. So I'll probably have a conversation about that at some point. Anyway, thanks so much. Love you all.
Happy Valentine's Day from Vegan Nation. To all our listeners, I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. In this Valentine's special, I featured human rights activists and animal rights activists because we are one, freedom and love for all. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this radio station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. And let's go out with hearing more from the massive hundreds of thousands, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in Ottawa. Follow Team Vegan on the Freedom Convoy 2022 on social media. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.
All right, folks, I'm back. It's currently about -8. But that's not stopping people from coming down. And there's just people everywhere.